hoping you're having a holly jolly Christmas. Well, not in a Burl Ives kind of way, but that you are having a meaningful Christmas celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Fortis Institute's desire is to see more people worship the newborn King. That is what drives us here at this ministry. And so it is, as the year draws to a close, I'm interrupting the program to encourage you to please consider partnering with us. We have a matching gift campaign that is taking place right now. You can double your impact and you can help us do more and more and more. And that's kind of how we run this place. The more you give, the more we do. And it is our desire to do more gospel preaching in 2026. Get out to 12 campuses, more books, more podcasts, more videos, more gospel proclamation. If you'd be so kind to consider supporting Fortis Institute, we would be grateful. FortisInstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel. It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
This is Wretched Radio, hoping that you will send questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, anything wretched to idea@wretched.org. And don't forget the texter machine, 877-282-2337.
So let's start with a question from Todd Friel.
Huh.
What's about that?
Yeah.
He texted in.
Yeah. Okay. Did he?
He did.
All right. What did he have to say?
Mr. Sir, Mr. Would you please remind me of the rules of discernment you use before talking about a fallen preacher?
Well, what a poignant question that happens to be. There are rules that must be applied before we go about the business of hearing a story, reading a story, somebody texting us some information about a pastor who has sinned to the point of disqualification. How do we go about the business of determining whether or not we here in Wretched Land talk about that story or not? We try to filter stories because we don't want to be guilty of something that is really, really harmful. As bad of a situation as it can be, all we can do by talking about it without warrant or without considering the implications or the rules of discernment, all we're doing is pouring gasoline on a story. And so when we hear at Wretched read about a pastor who has biffed it, we ask some questions, starting with how widespread is the news of this fall? Because if we think, and by the way, I do believe these rules apply to all of us. It's not just if you're doing a radio show or a podcast. I think these rules apply to all of us because we don't want to be guilty of gossip. It is a strife causer. Gossip never helps, despite what we read this week about some scientists saying gossip is actually good for the community. No, it's always bad because it's a sin. We don't want to be guilty of that. And so the first question that I tend to ask is, does everybody know about this? Because if in general, it is not a widely disseminated story, I don't want to contribute to that. And you say, well, that rule doesn't apply to me because, well, this is a radio program, but doesn't matter. If you share it with somebody when perhaps or it's likely they don't know about it, all we're doing is contributing and we're turning it into a story that everybody's aware of. And I think that rule is so crucial. And I understand it isn't a scientific rule. It's kind of a, well, it seems to me this is where we're at. So I'm as I look back over the years here, there have been some guys who have disqualified themselves from ministry that we did talk about. There's also been some guys that we love that we haven't talked about. Why? Because we didn't think it was a big, it wasn't a national story. That is a rule, I think, that applies to all of us. Because if I go about the business this Sunday at church going, hey, did you hear about fill in the blank? No, I didn't. Well, what do you know? Then all we're doing is spreading a story of bad news. But there's more questions that we should ask ourselves. What's the issue? Has it been adjudicated? Is this, do I know for a fact? Because if we find ourselves saying something, hey, I heard this from somebody who said that, uh-oh, that's not a fact. We need to be better journalists than all journalists these days, because let me tell you, they're not very journalistic. We need to do better as believers. And even if we hear about something and it looks legit, if there's a question, if there's a doubt that this might not be right, then I personally don't talk about it. In fact, Jimmy, yesterday, mm-hmm. we were having a lunch and a birthday cake celebration for everybody's birthdays for this month here at the ministry.
Oh, what? I thought it was because it was my anniversary.
And because it was your anniversary. That's why the cake said, happy birthday. And it was in really fine print, right by the flag. You never eat the cake anyway. Who are you fooling? Happy anniversary, darling. How many years has it been?
21.
Good on you.
Yep.
Well done.
Thank you.
That's an accomplishment. I think those are the types of hallmarks. I think those should be celebrated because marriage is a good thing. Nevertheless, when we heard yesterday at lunch, you actually showed it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And our response was, we got to wait.
Yep.
This is just one individual. We got to wait and see. In fact, even if it looks like this looks pretty good, before we, and I mean all of us, not just on a podcast or radio, but before we talk about it, it's like, I got to know, gossip is that bad? Because what if the story that I do believe most of us heard yesterday, if it hadn't been true, wow! Because right on the spot, I could have been like, hey, everybody, listen up. Guess what just happened? And then we find out it didn't just happen. And then got to go clean it up. But here's the problem. So the people that were in that room told people who weren't in that room, I can't find all those people. And what have I done? I've spread contamination. And I don't want to do that. Has it been adjudicated? Is this a court situation where somebody's been accused? That's another rule, by the way. Is this an accusation? Has it been proved? Has it been responded to by the individual who's being accused? And if it's still a he said, she said sort of thing, I just got to wait. I have to wait because I don't know. And we have applied these rules over the years to good teachers and bad teachers. There have been so many stories and accusations about these false teacher heretics that my flesh says, we know, of course they did that. But we don't, because there are sometimes when we just have to pass, because all it is an accusation or somebody said, or we just don't know for sure, or it hasn't been adjudicated, or it isn't widespread. Think of the worst heretic you can, and let's just say that they're accused of something grievous. And we talk about it here, or you talk about it there, and it turns out not to be true. I don't think that edifies the body, because it borders on slander, maybe not to the legal degree, but it borders on, well, no, it's gossip then. And so it is, we find ourselves today with a story of a man that you and I love. And we've worked through the filter of discernment here. And we've concluded this is a widely disseminated story. This has been reported now in USA Today. It's being talked about on the blogs. You are going to hear about it. If you haven't already, somebody's going to bring it up at church. And by the way, if you're thinking about sharing this at church on Sunday, I would simply encourage you to maybe let somebody else be the bearer of bad news. Because the story that we are studying right now is going to cause a lot of Christians to be wounded and hurt, and perhaps more than anything, confused. But because this story is widely disseminated, we are going to talk about it here on Wretched Radio. But not today. And here's why. I feel probably just like you do about this story. It was a gut punch. This was, I've been tracking this sort of stuff just as an evangelical, not doing radio and TV, just as an evangelical for years. And so I hear the stuff that you hear. I see the stuff that you see. I don't think that I've ever seen anything more grievous than this. And so I think the first response should not be to make a YouTube video or to just text all of my friends to tell them and talk about it and just hash it. Honestly, I just think it's a time for us to go, oh, and to do some personal things, to assess ourselves, to take heed lest we too shall fall. I think it's time to pray for the sinner and for the individual who participated in the sin, for the church, for the ministry, for the affiliated ministries, and for all of the people who are going to feel this and be confused. So know this, even though we're delaying it, we're doing it so that we take the time to do that and to think. I don't want to just shoot off ideas. So we're going to grieve this. We're going to talk about it. But we're going to take our time in doing so, so that when we do talk about it, it is actually fruitful, godly, and wise, and helpful. Thanks for the text, Todd Friel. This is Wretched Radio.
You know as well as I do, college campuses are battlegrounds. They always have been. Ideas clash, worldviews compete, and somewhere in the middle, students are trying to figure out what's actually true. This year, Fortis Institute showed up. 3 campus visits where we shared the gospel and equipped students to think clearly. Also, 300,000 Play the Man booklets put directly into the hands of students, giving them tools to push back against the lies they're hearing in classrooms. And look, it's working. Students are waking up. They're asking questions. They're realizing there's another way to think about masculinity, about their faith, and about truth itself. But 3 campuses aren't enough. Next year, we're planning to visit 12 campuses. And also, Todd's new book, Go Serve Your King, releases with HarperCollins next year as well. And here's the opportunity you have right now. Every gift you give through the end of the year is matched. Dollar for dollar match up to $500,000. Your donation literally doubles. FortisInstitute.org. Give now and watch your gift double today. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org.
Books of the Bible. Zechariah was a prophet who preached God's judgment, repentance, and the promise of salvation to the Jews returning from exile. He relays a series of apocalyptic visions
focusing on the coming of Christ, the final salvation of God's people, and the final judgment upon sinners. Remember that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You okay?
You paid me a compliment, and I this is Wretched Radio. Thank you for the compliment, Jimmy.
It was an accident.
No, you quoted the Bible. Proverbs 10:19.
Yeah, that wasn't an accident.
That one, you thought of the verse, where there is many words, sin follows. That's a paraphrase, but it's pretty close. A lot of words, it's almost certain you're going to sin in your speech. This is why James repeats the theme of the tongue. It's not just one time, two. It's like five times in five chapters. He's like, watch your mouth. Watch what you say. Your tongue, it sets a forest ablaze. It's like a rudder on a ship. And it's sprinkled throughout the book of James. It's not like, all right, here's the paragraph on the tongue. It's not written that way. It's like, hey, watch your mouth. And then you read for another half a chapter. Watch your mouth. And then he moves on to whatever the issue. Watch your mouth. Why? I think we need those reminders. And the Proverbs are replete with warnings. And one of the warnings is found in Proverbs 10:19. If you talk a lot, you're probably going to sin. The one who holds his tongue is prudent. And that's why I'm so moved that Jimmy actually called me prudent. Even though he didn't mean to. But you did.
I did.
Because at this moment, I'm holding my tongue. Not going to hold it on Monday. Now, please note, might even push it out further than that. This maybe isn't a perfect rule, because there are some people that no doubt are smarter than I am that can say something immediately about a particular story, like the one that we're going to be considering on Monday about the fallen pastor from Dallas that we all know and love, and perhaps they can say wise things. My experience, though, is I'm always glad that I wait. I'd rather take a few days and not be on the cutting edge of getting YouTube clicks and get it right. I just think that's better. I think it's better to ponder things a little deeper. And I've basically got, at this moment, two main offerings. I've already been hearing some offerings, and this, by the way, this is another rule of discernment. If I don't have something unique to add, there is no point in me talking about it. I don't want to be Fox News. Have you noticed it's just amazing. Every time I tune back into Fox News, it's like, there it is. It was the Florida shooting on the golf course. And they, you know, here it is, blah, blah, boom, breaking news. And this is what they found and discovered. And then they bring in the experts to talk, and it's like, it's the same, you're just rehashing it. There's nothing additional I need to know or am going to learn with all of this speculation and pontification about a situation. And I just don't want to do that. I don't want to rehash. And here would be another rule. If it's like pretty obvious, you probably don't need me to try to articulate it. We all kind of get that. And so it is with this situation. I'm trying to be, as Jimmy called me so affectionately, prudent. I'm sorry, you okay in there?
I'm coughing.
Trying to be prudent and wise and hopefully helpful. We'll deal with that next week. Lord willing. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Jordan. Todd, I was wondering if people in heaven can hear our prayers. I previously prayed and asked God to relay my message, but I didn't want to be doing something wrong.
Wait a second. So ask God to relay the message to the person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but do those people hear those prayers to God?
Right.
Okay. God asked the Bible some questions. What does it say about prayer? It says we're supposed to pray to the Father through Jesus the Son by the power of the Spirit. So we have nothing that instructs us that we should be praying to people, even if we call them saints, although we are all called as saints. You don't need to be approved by the Vatican. You've been approved by Jesus, and you have been labeled a saint. Did you know that? You are called as a saint and you say, I don't live like a saint. Well, that's the whole point of sanctification, is that you begin increasingly, progressively to live what you have been identified as, a saint. And so we don't see instructions to pray to saints or to Mary. We pray to the Father through Jesus the Son. But now, by the way, just so you know, because we understand the doctrine of the Trinity, you can pray to the Holy Spirit. You can pray to Jesus. The pattern that we see established in the Bible is pray to the Father through Jesus the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, because those are the self-defined roles that we see in Scripture. That's the pattern. So I don't think you should be talking to people in heaven. They're not going to hear you. And furthermore, that's just not what God instructs. He wants us to go to Him. If you're feeling sad, if you're feeling lonely, scared, hurt, whatever, because somebody's currently in heaven and you'd like to, there's something I wish I had said before. Tell the Lord. Cast all of your cares on Him. He wants you to go to Him. And furthermore, I would say this, and this really should be an encouragement. I'm not intending it to sound like a wrist slap, but we have nothing to say to them that they need to hear. That you can say nothing to them that will make them happier than they currently are. Nothing. So when you get to heaven, you can see them and you can have a chat. But right now, I don't think we should be talking to people who are not the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, the second part, however, is kind of interesting, isn't it? Could I say to the Lord, Lord, could you please relay this message to? Well, there's a part of me that considers the tenderness of God's heart, that He would be amenable to that. On the other hand, our God is high, holy, and a consuming fire, and I don't want to presume and make Him my errand boy. So would I pray that particular prayer? I think that I would just talk to the Lord and let Him decide what is best to do. Cast all of your cares on Him. Can you tell your Father, Lord, my heart is heavy because I wish I had said, help me with that. Help me to not feel regret. Help me to know if it were a sin, that you're forgiven. Help me to have peace in my heart. Help me to go to you all the time. Would I perhaps say, and Lord, should you choose to communicate this to them, so be it, your will be done. He's gonna do what is best regardless. So I'm not sure that I would ask that. Would I say to you, you're a heretic if you do? Nah, I wouldn't say that either. Jimmy, you got anything to add to that?
No, I think you pretty well. I was thinking the same thing. I mean, I would have a hard time asking God to be my messenger.
Yeah, that he knows what's best. We can feel like, oh, if I could just. There is something to. I can't tell you what it is because I can't exactly find a Bible. But maybe if you find it, send it to idea@wretched.org. But I can't find a Bible verse that says just getting stuff off of your chest is helpful. Spilling your guts is somehow therapeutic or cathartic. But it is, isn't it? It just is. So maybe underneath the umbrella of confess your sins to one another, you know, that we share things with one another. Okay, wait a second. Hold on. I may be coming up with some stuff. I wouldn't call these explicit, but perhaps implicit Bible verses. That we help carry each other's burdens. We share in that load and weight. And a part of that could be simply hearing what's going on in the heart of the individual who's hurting. So I think there's something to that of sharing it. But God wants you to do that with Him first and foremost. That's what. Now, just consider the implications of this for a moment. All right? If you, on a cosmic scale, there's something that's troubling you. The last words you said to your loved one were sinful. And you're all right, now, it was a sin, I grant you that. But in light of human history, now multiply that toward times a gazillion, trillion, million, billion, in light of eternity, it's really nothing. It's really like, yeah, okay, so we're talking about eternity here. And God still says, come on, tell me. tell me. I want you to talk to me. Bring it. You know, really, all of our cares, as big as they are to us, they're so small to God. And yet, and this isn't to minimize your pain or to mock or make light of your situation. It's an effort to demonstrate the magnanimity of God, the kindness of God. I'm going to use this word, the tenderness of God, that He petitions you, cast all of your care. What kind of a God is that who wants to hear? He wants to hear from me about my truly, ultimately insignificant issue? And the answer to that is a definitive thundering, absolutely, He does. Why? Because there is no God like our God. There is no God so approachable. There is no God so caring. And I'm going to use that word again. There is no God so tender. This is Wretched Radio.